This individual that you've done research in, and of course the basis of the book, The Man Who Shocked the World, absolutely incredible. What even got him interested in doing experience on obedience to authority?
Well, I think, you know, like with anything, there are multiple causes to a particular behavior act, but one stimulus clearly was his attempt to shed some new light on the Holocaust. I mean, it's a puzzle to anybody who knows the history of it. I mean, how does it happen that you have a whole country, and not only a whole country, but their allies of presumably normal people, from one day they're your neighbor, next day they're ready to kill you? How does that transformation happen? What causes that to happen? And Milgram thought a good candidate for explanation would be obedience, because we knew that obedience, blind obedience, reflexive obedience, was a key value of German society. So that was the starting point. And the particular details of it had a lot to do with his own creativity. I mean, I think your listeners got a sense of it from the strip, the little piece that you played from the film, the black and white documentary. But the particular details were meant to capture in the laboratory the essence of the phenomenon of obedience. And so what he did, and I think the soundtrack gets part of it across, but should I fill in some of the gaps?
Absolutely, Thomas.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What you heard basically is, as George said, you had two people in the lab. One person was a teacher, another person was the learner. Ostensibly, the teachers were really naive subjects ostensibly they were recruited to participate in a study of memory and learning. And this was via ads placed in the local newspaper. This was in New Haven, New Haven Register. So people would come at their appointed time, and they'd come to the laboratory. They would be met by a very, very gaunt, serious-looking experimenter. And there would also be another person sitting there, a very pleasant, jovial-looking, middle-aged man, who supposedly was also another subject. And the experiment says, well, we know what we're doing here is, doing a study on memory and learning. But we know very little about the relationship between punishment and learning, especially in humans. So that's what we're going to study today. And what we're going to do is we're going to have to set things up so that one of you is the teacher, one of you is the learner. And so he pretends to sort of flip a coin, but in actuality, it's a rigged drawing. The naive subject always ends up playing the role of the teacher, the learner, the other person who's already sitting there, who's actually in cahoots with the experimenter. He's an actor going through a scripted procedure. Is always the learner. Now,
so the guy we heard saying, "Let me out of here! Let me out of here!" He was an actor, right?
Exactly. Not only that, okay, was he an actor, but what you heard was a recording to standardize the procedure. That was an audio tape of his voice, keyed to different shock levels. So as the shock levels increased, so did the intensity and pitifulness of his screams. And so yes, he was the victim. But one thing I should point out is that the teacher sat in front of a very realistic, ominous-looking shock machine, very professional-looking, very authentic-looking. Milgram was very much of a theatrical person,
yeah,
and he wanted to make sure that every little detail created credibility. So the machine was a machine which ostensibly gave shocks when you pressed a lever. There were 30 levers in a row, each one corresponding to 15-volt increments. And the rule was, what happened was, the task was to match adjectives to nouns. During the testing phase, the teacher was supposed to read the first word, the adjective, and then the learner was supposed to recall what response word went with it initially. Now, every time he made a mistake, the rule was that he would have to receive a shock, electric shock. First 15 volts, next one 30, and so on. There were
kept building up, I guess, right?
Exactly. Continuum of 30 switches, right, exactly. And that's a very important element to notice here is that the rule was it had to be elevated. So, and there were 30 switches. That meant that the maximum voltage, supposedly, that the learner could receive if he didn't learn all the word pairs eventually is 450 volts. plus, underneath the numerical designations were things like mild shock, moderate shock, dangerous shock, and just at the very end, XXX, beyond words. So the and by design, the learner made mistakes. It was a scripted procedure. He got some of them right to add realism to it, but he also made mistakes. Every time, before long, the teacher's subject found himself maybe giving 150 volts within the first couple minutes of the experiment.
Oh, my God, and we know just if you accidentally touch something from 120 volts, you could get killed.
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose so. I don't know. I'm not sure. It was uncomfortable, intense, and that was conveyed by the voice track that we heard.
But again, though, it was not real voltage.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's very important to stress. No, the learner did not get hurt. It was all pretend, but a very realistic pretend.
And the teacher didn't know that, though. It's almost like a version of Candid Camera.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because actually Milgram was a fan of Candid Camera, and he wrote an article drawing parallels between the experiment, social psychological experiment, and Candid Camera. But this had really, as far as the subject went, it was much more of a serious endeavor, because it was a very stressful experience. Although the learner did not get hurt, the teacher found himself in a bind, a conflict that had to be resolved one way or the other. He was pulled, tugged in two different directions. On the one hand, the teacher is saying, please go on, the experiment requires that you go on. See, because people stop, you know, people are not, generally not sadists. I mean, they turned occasionally to the experimenter for guidance. What should I do? The guy's screaming there. He's saying, I'm having heart trouble. Please go on. The experiment requires that you go on. You have no choice but to go on.
So they really didn't want to keep going, but they then turned to the experimenter and took his advice.
Exactly, exactly. The point is, on their own, they would not have likely have done this. I mean, most people do not go around shocking a stranger who did not deserve to be punished just on their own, beyond maybe a few tingles, you know. But it was clearly at the behest, it was clearly in response to the commands of an authority. And that's the essential dynamic that Milgram wanted to convey. Just how powerful, surprisingly powerful, an authority whose legitimacy we accept, what kind of unexpected power he can have over us to make us do things against our conscience that we would not do when we would act autonomously.